Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I am your host, Roger Love. Yes, I am. And I'm joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Roger Love.
And how are you doing this morning, darling?
I am doing wonderful. You hear I'm wide awake and full of energy.
Okay, and all that junk and stuff. Yes, ma'am. All right, so you must have got your coffee going good this morning.
Yes, yes.
All right, now. Well, girl, well, how about, I was coming across some stuff yesterday myself, you know. I was on Facebook that I was looking at, and I'm like, you know what, dang it, if I had seen this earlier, this would have been a very good topic to talk about on this doggone show. But it ain't my turn to talk about today, child. It's your turn to talk about some stuff today, so, you know.
Well, you can be happy to go ahead and say it, because, you know, I just got some tea to give, so you can go ahead.
Oh, so you got some tea to give today. Okay, well, child, but then you got to let me scroll down for a second so I can find what it was that I was looking at, because, you know, I was like, this right here is some questionable stuff, but now I got to find it. That's the thing.
All right, well, while you find it, I'm going to give you one of my pieces of tea while you're looking for it. And then.
Okay, well, hey, my cup ready. Okay. You know it's ready.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Oh, it been knocked it off. Hold on. See, now I got to get back to it. Okay, there you go. All right, here it goes. I want the biggest tea first.
Ooh, the biggest cup. All right.
Yes. Shout out to Birdman. He bought Tony Braxton a Bentley SUV.
China.
Birdman and Tony doing well.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like
I feel shocked about the whole thing. I think he's just doing a Tamar. What do you think?
Well, now, I mean, you know, considering who she is, you know, I've never looked at Tony as being like Tamar. So, you know, plus Tony is the oldest. So, you know, she got something. You know, she got, well, from what I've seen of how she used to deal with things, you know, it's like I just don't see her like that. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't think she used a better man to be a, she not being a gold digger trying to get back into the music business like Tamar was doing with Vince? She was trying to get her music career popping.
Well, child, see, the difference is that, see, Tamar is trying to get a career popping. See, Tony is already
talking. But Tony's trying to get back at it. Tony hasn't made a record in years.
Tony is legendary, child. So all she got to do is pull a padded child and just basically just get in there and just do something. But as long as it's still something that sounds current, I don't think Tony lost no fans. You know, people still love listening to Tony when she's singing. So whenever she comes out with something, I think people will still be interested in hearing what it is it sounds like, as long as it's sounds current, you know?
Well, Roger Love, I got another opinion. Someone said they think Birdman is using Tony to not be considered gay because, you know, that's the rumor out there.
That's a high possibility.
I think it's just her trying to get back on her feet. That's what I think.
I mean, let's look at how this all came about, though, child. Right after somebody needing to respect his name, it's like, yeah, you all of a sudden with Tony Braxton and junk and stuff. Now, it might be a business venture between the both of them. Who knows? You know, we never know until it comes out. Until
you're
it
right
comes
about that.
Mm-hmm.
I say you're right about that. You never know in that business.
Okay, until it comes out, you just never know. So, but it's like, it's, as far as what I've seen of Tony's history, I ain't going to say that that's the case until they say it's the case. But, you know, with Birdman, yeah, anything is possible. Anything.
anything.
It is all possible. So I can't even say, With Tamar, Yeah.
All right, did you find your story?
I have not yet, and I'm still scrolling because, you know, a lot of people have been posting stuff since yesterday on Facebook. I'm like, nah, I got to go through with stuff and try to figure out what it was that I was looking at. Dang it.
While you're doing that, let's give it another piece of tea.
Okay. Known I was going to be looking for a child, I would have wrote it down.
Jennifer Lopez beats Britney Spears' Las Vegas box office. Now, that's a shocker.
Girl.
That is.
Because
Jennifer is, well, I guess she's more a performer than Britney, but Britney is a bigger artist. So that made me go,
I'm just thinking, but J-Lo, as far as, it's like, okay, I guess that she never went down the path that, Britney went down. I guess it's still feasible because J-Lo ain't never really did nobody nothing. She was always, who she was, and when people did listen to her music, they listened. I guess I would never thought she would have really done that well doing a Vegas show,
Right, right. I was pretty much shocked about it myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't think that J-Lo was reaching that many people, J-Lo is J-Lo,
Exactly. I've always said I've been a big fan of her acting.
Right. Yes, me too.
Musically, she do what she can. She's okay, but she was never that great for me as far as music goes. It's like I can't even tell you any of her songs that Waiting for Tonight was, a good dance song. But that was, She's one of those people that I think would have done better just singing for, like, movies or something. I don't know. But it's,
I agree. I totally agree with that. I think if she would have did more musical type acting using her voice, she would have been good.
Yeah. It was like, but a pop singer,
Yeah, not so much, not so much.
Not so much. That's just, but that's just me. No tea, no shade, just my opinion of her. It's like, she got a vocal style, she can hold a note, but
just not something I'll run out and buy.
No, because I haven't.
Right.
I just haven't, so it's like, good grief. But nope, still can't find it.
All right. Well, let's talk about Cat Williams, and he got sued by his former assistant for $1 million for knocking him out.
What? He got that, what I call that little man,
Yes, syndrome, Yes, he does. He really does. And no shade to Cat Williams, but... the business is only going to be around so long, Kat. You're good at what you do, but you're taking it away with all the other foolishness that you're doing.
That's the biggest thing.
Because he's very talented.
And the thing is, when it comes to doing stand-up, because that's what you're doing, when you branch out is where you really, truly make more money, but it's like, how much of a branching out are you going to do if you keep hitting people?
All right. Keep your hands to yourself, little man.
Okay.
I think he thinks he got to hit first.
Because if he get hit first.
Yeah, they're going to knock him out. He little, like that little boy did.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, if you hit first, that tells me that you're doing too much talking then, if that's the case. Why don't you just actually walk away? How about that? Just walk away, because people are going to try you. They're going to try you. You ain't got to let them taste.
And then once you knock that first person out, you got that stigma that you're going to hit people. So now you got to hit first because people think, got their guard up that you're going to hit first.
Okay.
But your poor assistant, they weren't about their life.
All that means is you caught them off guard.
mm-hmm.
and you hit him, and that's just not right. That's just not right.
Not right at all. Not right at all. Cat Williams, you're too old for that. You're too old for that.
It's just stupid, but that's the way that it is. That's the way it is, child. Like I said, when you got that little man complex, child, you just do stupid stuff. It's like, oh, my goodness, really?
Really?
Really
don't. Really don't.
Then his name don't help him out either, Cat Williams. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
You know?
Right?
Bless it.
Also, P. Diddy was reportedly, the cops was called to him and his girlfriend Cassie's house, and they said they were due for a breakup because police was called and everything. But P. Diddy worked it out with Cassie. They're back together and they're happy.
Wait.
Shout out to Diddy. P. Diddy and his girlfriend Cassie, the police was called out for altercation, and everybody was saying that they were on the verge of breaking up. Well, Diddy came back and said, nope, everything is good with him and Cassie. It was just a mishap. So, y'all stop trying to hurry up and get over that, ladies, because Diddy is back with Cassie.
Oh, my goodness. Whatever.
However, he's not on tour, though, because he hurt his shoulder, and until then, the Bad Boy tour is on hold. For all the has-beens and bad boys.
Ooh, no. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a palm tree shade there. Yeah, you just cast the moon through the sun, child, I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
Yes?
I don't make this stuff up. I just report it.
What I heard, yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the whole Nate Parker thing?
I did. But for those of those who didn't, enlighten them.
Okay. Nate Parker was a, this was back a few years ago. Him and his friend, he was dating this girl. Well, he said it was a friends with benefits type of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out one night. And she got really, really, really drunk.
Mm.
And her and him had sex. And they said he called in his friend who also had sex with her. And she was with it. And when she got up the next morning, they said they had sex again. She went home. She thought about it. She said she came down from being drunk. And she said that they raped her. His friend was charged, but Nate Parker, he was acquitted on it because of all the previous times that they had encounters. However, some years passed, and the young lady killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
She committed suicide. Now they have a movie that's coming out related to this, and now Nate Parker is getting a lot of backlash about it because he was acquitted on it, and people are pretty much, like, retrying him, just like they're doing with the O.J. Simpson thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already been tried. He's already been acquitted of it. But now people are trying to retry him on this case. Now, I wasn't there. I don't know. I know it's probably a hurtful thing for her. But if you can't hold your liquor, let it go. Let it go. Now, yes, I'm sorry that the young lady did kill herself. Because we know alcohol, alcohol abuse is very serious. But in this case, the young man was acquitted. His friend, I don't understand why his friend would have not been, got convicted, but I guess they saw enough evidence to convict him by what she said.
Or whatever the case.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so now he's getting this flag that he actually should have been retried on this. But once you tried, you tried. You can't do double jeopardy.
Okay.
But now that the movie is out, he's getting a lot of flack.
Not guilty.
Right.
If they have new evidence, they say, that actually says something to the contrary. Now, 3 years after the girl had passed, 4 years after the girl had passed, how much new evidence could you have found? But
exactly.
My thought on this goes to two different points. A, because they were saying that the movie that was coming out really doesn't have anything to do with that situation. It's a movie that he starred and directed and everything else in. It's a story of Nat Turner.
Right.
That's the movie that's coming out, and they said that there was a whole lot of front-runner Oscar buzz for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, all of that stuff came back up. Now, my first question was, when I actually was seeing all of this, is, you know, like, what does one have to do with the other? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And years ago,
mm-hmm.
this boy has done so many movies since then. And done so much more, because this was when they were in college. He wasn't even in a movie yet. We didn't even know who he was.
Exactly.
But they went through this process, got found that he was not guilty of what he was being committed, you know, accused of. So years later, the girl commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to make it seem like, okay, well, it's because of this, or does that have a link to it? This girl might have just had some issues. I mean, does anybody really know the whole true story about?
Well, she had alcohol. She did have alcohol issues.
I'm saying.
And you know,
they're trying to make it seem like it's related to what happened then.
Exactly. Alcohol makes you depressed, and she had alcohol issues.
So.
And,
it's like
so
it's another thing that it just comes to try. And but the thing is this. That gets me. But why, like I said, what does this one thing have to do with the other? Because now you're trying to say, does he deserve his accolades because of what he was accused of doing back then? And because this girl took her life, does that affect how it's reflecting on him? Why does it?
It shouldn't have to.
It should not have to. I mean, if he didn't kill the girl himself and he was convicted of raping the girl, it's like, why are y'all still trying to make him be guilty of something that has, and then it still has nothing to do with what you're trying to take away from him?
Exactly.
At all. So it's like, what does it have to do with the price of tea in China? You know? But then I also still always go back to that other point that when a black man is not.
You're not going to pull a race card, Roger. You're not going to pull a race
card.
That
card has already been thrown. Sorry. But if a black man has not been found guilty of something that they have been accused of, really, what's the likeliness that they actually did it and did not get actually found guilty of it? Do we know the history of this country? Does a black man really have to actually do something to be found guilty of it? Really?
Not necessarily.
Exactly. Really. So if they happen to not find enough stuff to put together to say that this person was guilty of doing what they accused him of doing, how likely is it that it happened? That's the same thing I said about OJ. The same exact thing. It does not take little to none to actually accuse and convict a black man. You could just simply say there have been many black people killed, yes, just because a white girl said that a black guy looked at her. Hello?
Well.
Now, if you're saying that you are, she looked like she white, but she might be mixed with something. I don't know what it was she was, but, yeah, she might be white. She might be mixed with Spanish or something. She might even be black. I don't know, but she looked like a white girl to me. That fair-skinned, and you accusing a black man, definitely black, you know.
He's definitely a brother.
Two black guys, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No mistaking that. Two black guys of raping you. And they're not convicted, or one of them is not convicted, but the other one is found guilty on some charges related. It's like, really? Really?
Yeah, that case was kind of like, really, y'all? Really? We can't do better?
They can't. They can't. And that's the whole thing. That's why I'm like, okay, y'all just doing too much now. Y'all really are. But then they wonder why we still talk about Black Lives Matter, you know, and bring up slavery. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the thing that I was looking at, which I still couldn't find the video to tell you the exact link. But I came across a video where this guy was doing an interview. And, of course, the interviewer, he was an African-American man.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an African-American man that was working for Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we all know how that can go. And then the person, of course, that he was interviewing, and I can't remember his name, but, again, if I would have saw the link, I could tell y'all this, but I can't find the link. But this is a guy that was referenced to in a tweet sent by, now let's see if I can say this way, you can follow me. We all remember the guy who basically did the shooting, the military guy who did the shooting of police officers, and I think this was the one that was done in Baton Rouge, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he posted a tweet prior to doing all of this referencing the guy who was doing the interview because of the views that he actually spewed about the government.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said his name, but I can't remember his name, the name. But the guy was basically liking, you know, his views to this particular guy that was being interviewed. And so they brought that particular guy to the show to interview him and ask him. They were trying to imply, but, well, the interviewee was trying to imply if the guy felt some sense of responsibility, but he didn't want to say that. But he didn't want to say that, but that's what he was trying to imply. Did he feel some sense of responsibility considering that it was his words that basically inspired this guy to actually commit these crimes, but then he had to change it up when he realized what he was saying was kind of way off. Now, there were some points that was being discussed on both ends because the guy was giving his point, his perspective, and he was saying that, no, you know, short of the fact of, you know, going out and just mass killing people, that's not what my whole thing is. But, you know, he basically was saying that the government, the U.S. government does not like Black people. And that's going based upon the history, you know, where everything stemmed from, the laws that were being made were never to govern for us, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I get that. I truly, truly understand that because that's just the way that this country's history is. But then the guy that was doing the interview, like I said, he was basically an African-American, but he was asking questions to relate to the current situation of this country. And even in the current situation of this country, you still see where, you know, African-American people are still not treated equally to Caucasian Americans. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Laws are still skewed, and they still reflect differently for us as they do. But
what about the people that say that we are equal?
Who?
A lot of people say that, you know, Black people are equal with white people in all aspects of everything. So if they believe that, then we're not.
Any of those Black?
Yeah, a lot of people are Black that say that.
Okay, well, then those people that actually say that probably grew up around the same areas where those white people grew up and were never treated differently. Because if they were treated differently, then I don't understand how they would say that. It doesn't make
sense. Well, I lived around them, and we were treated differently because regardless of where you live.
Exactly, and that's why I said that. That's why I said that apparently those people that grew up around them were not treated differently. Because if they were treated differently, I don't understand how they could say that. Because, true, we can do anything legally, but, you know, because now the laws are supposed to apply to us also. You know, the rights are supposed to apply to us also. So on paper, you know, it shows that we are. But in reality, we're not treated as such. That's why we keep saying, yes, Black lives does matter. We have to say that because we're not treated as such. And given the thing that he was trying to relate, now the guy that was being interviewed was saying that, it's just in our history that shows that this country's government does not like us. And when the guy was in the government, basically, because
he just said blue lives matter.
He just said blue lives matter, not black lives matter.
Oh, well, see. I don't know who's blue and who's black and who's brown or whatever colors that they keep throwing out there, but it's like when they keep saying that all lives matter, I just really want to punch people in the face.
All right. Yeah, I remember him doing the Blue Lives Matter deal, but he did it because a lot of people that support, I mean, that, like the Secret Service and all that, they protect him. So, of course, he's going to do Blue Lives Matter. I would, too. Mm-hmm. They're still going to, until he dies, he will always have Secret Service. Go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry. We were talking about Blue Lives and Black Lives. Blue Lives
and
Black Lives. But it's so much people expect Obama to come in and be their savior, but he can only do so much. We will only allow him to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
As the president, you can't just sit up there and just start signing whatever bills he wants and doing whatever he wants. Because that's why we vote in our congressmen and senators to give the views that we want to the president. And that's why it's all a voting, and the person that's up there is just pretty much like the puppet. They can say and do as much as they can, but they let's be honest, we're not a dictatorship, so they're not up there and just saying, okay, we're going to do it this way, and this is the way it's going to be done.
I mean, this particular president wasn't. I wouldn't say that Clinton wasn't, but Bush definitely came across as such. Because
backing
him in that office were Republicans, you let him free reign.
Right. We had a Republican
government.
Senate and House. Yeah. So with that, but with Obama's last time, he has totally Republicans. They're not trying to do nothing to let him shine, especially at the end, because you let a black man leave without a bright note.
They took back over the Senate, though, I believe.
No, it's all Republicans.
Really? I thought the second term they actually upped the ante with the Democrats.
Nope, it's Republican.
Wow. Well, yeah, because they did shut down the government for 2 weeks, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, people, and they want Obama to look bad, and that's why they're doing it, especially to the black people, so they can say, you know what, that nigga ain't do nothing. He ain't supporting us. He's from the people, and he can only do so much. And that's what they want us to believe. They want us to hate on our own, but they're going to support their own.
Mm-hmm.
If they could go behind Donald Trump by saying the most ignorant stuff he's saying and back him 100%,
they're not. That's the thing, though. They're not.
Some of them are. Some of them,
yes. But if you look at the GOP, their consensus is cutting Donald Trump. That's what the GOP keeps coming out with. Every week is something new that's coming out about them basically having a
You have to realize, Roger, in the world today, if you look at anybody's family, you're going to find somebody Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find somebody gay. You're going to find somebody Puerto Rican. You're going to find somebody Asian.
Mm-hmm.
You look at your family history, you're going to find a little bit of everybody.
Now, I'm looking at history now. We got Native American. I think I represent the flag, the multiple colored rainbow. But there's some other people that represents it with me, yes, I will say that. But then it's like I believe there are some Caucasians in the history, but I don't know about any Hispanics in my family. I don't know. I haven't seen any. I haven't met any that I can tell. But, yeah, but we got all the rest of them going down the line. They all in here, and everybody knows that. When you get a group of people of different whatever in the same place, there's going to be some mixing of the cultures. That's just what happens.
Of course. And that's why nowadays you can't say, well, white is for the white, black is for the black. Because depending on what your dynamic in your family and who's closest to you, that's why Republicans now are not liking what Trump is saying, but a lot of them are not liking what he's saying. But like he said, they're still going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm, because they dumb. Dumb as hell. But, yeah, getting back to the point that this guy was making, they were saying that basically this is why people still talk about slavery, because you still have people that try to denounce the things that are truly going on. But then, I have a double-edged sword, I think, that comes along with this conversation. Because it's like, even though we know the history of this country, it definitely still strikes a chord with me when people denounce the changes that have actually occurred. Now, of course, we are still nowhere near being treated as equal, you know, to white people as we should be.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still nowhere near where we were. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like it's always that double-edged sword that comes up when people start, you know, talking like that. When you keep bringing things back to linking it to slavery, we know the history, and we should act like we know the history, definitely. But at the same time, at some point, you got to say, well, you know what, that happened. We're at this point in life now where it's up to us to make these changes in ourselves and stop saying that it's because of the things that happened to our, you know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our this or whatever, and then it trickled down. At some point, you can't say that somebody else is going to be responsible for breaking your cycle. You have to just, when you know your history, it's up to you to do better. It's not for other people to come along and try to train you how to do better. You just got to do it, you know?
Right.
It is what it is.
When you know better, you do better.
Exactly. When you know better, then you do better. And stop trying to wait for other people to try to say that it's okay, you know?
Right, exactly.
They're never
going to
do that, you know? And so that's where the conversation was going to me. It's like the guy that was being interviewed just kept saying that, you know, well, it's because of the things that we went through in slavery that passed down from generation to generation as the reason why black people have black people issues now as far as, you know, black-on-black crime and all the other kind of stuff. And my thought on that is, like, okay, it may have a link, but as you can tell, not everybody follows that pattern. It stopped somewhere because we stopped it. It didn't stop because other people started treating us different, so then we started treating ourselves different. No. When you realize, like you said, when you know better, you do better. And you see there's better things or better ways of doing something, then do it. Don't keep the same pattern going that's going to lead you doing the same thing. When you look at your family history and you see that, well, yeah, we got a uncle that's in jail because of doing drugs and, you know, doing all of this other kind of stuff, if that's the path that you want to take, you'll see where it's going to wind you up. If that's where you want to be, then don't take that path. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I totally agree.
People just need
because your path is your destiny, and you can determine your path.
Exactly.
You don't have to, and like some people say, especially in our culture, they say, you know, we got to break the curse because we have a curse on, you know, in my family with a mother being a single mother in our family. Every generation has the single mother.
Yeah.
Or every generation has the drug dealer, or every generation has the crackhead. And when I hear people say that, I'm shocked because, and my mom didn't, and my dad didn't raise us like that. Like, you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
My dad lived in a project growing up. And moving to suburbia, he was like, anybody can do it. It's just, it's about what you put your mind to and what you want in life. And so many people, we got to break that generational curse. It's a generational curse. It's not. It's how you set your mind.
Exactly.
There's so many people that have that in their family, and they feel that, oh, I guess I'm a statistic. I have to go with it. It's not like a disease that runs in the family, like sickle cell or whatever.
Exactly.
It's your mind, and it's how you portray yourself. I guess because I was a child of someone who actually did it, maybe that gave me the thing of, okay, I can do whatever I want to do. But there's so many children that that's around it that do great things. A friend of mine.
One of those children.
He lived in a
place with that. But hey, I'm like, that was not my upbringing. I was brought up in the ghetto too, child. But
and my friend, a friend of mine, she was as well, and all her siblings were like, you know, why you keep studying and doing all that? We go do the same thing mama doing. And now she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a surgeon, top of her class. And I'm like, okay, so why would you? And she didn't come from the best areas. And she will tell you, but she was the first person in her family to go to college. But it was her mind, and she said what she wanted to do in life.
Yeah. Now, I would definitely say, like I said, growing up where I grew up, yeah, you don't see a lot of change. In some places, had you would have not been given opportunities to get out and see different, you might not have ever even realized that they were different if you have not been given that opportunity, because I was given an opportunity to see different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that there was something different and something better that could be going on, at least something that looked better than what I had going on at the moment, I'm like, well, you know what? Let me do this. Well, let me take advantage of this because it could lead to something better than what I know I don't want to be doing. Because I'm like, yeah, living in the, you know, around a bunch of ghetto hood, thuggish, drug dealing, killing, and all that other kind of stuff.
Oh,
I grew up in the middle of the villa. Don't act.
But see, Roger Love, you had the ambition to do it. We didn't go to school where everybody that went to school with us lived in the villa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you saw better. You knew better.
And I did.
You knew that wasn't where you wanted to be before you got that chance to do something different.
Hmm.
You knew that wasn't for you because if you thought it was, you would have been like, oh, no, I can't go that. You know, people would have had to pull you and drag you and make you to go to change. But you were like, oh, no, you saw the opportunity and you took it.
Exactly.
Because your mindset wasn't, oh, I'm supposed to be sitting here
and stuck
in a villa. So
and that was the thing. I was even being in the middle of it, I was never a part of it. And that's what my
right.
was. And that's why I'm like, you know what, when you break that cycle in your own mind to know that you can be doing something much better, even if it's not even much better, but better than what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like you see where you are, and if you know that that's not the way you want to continue to live your life, do something else. You got the power
exactly.
to do something else. You got the power to go somewhere else. You don't have to be in the middle of that, so you can change that cycle without people having to tell you that you can change that cycle. When you see that there's other cycles out there, get a part of that cycle. That cycle looks like it's better than the one you're in. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, but a lot of people can't because – they feel if you have it in your mind it's a generational curse,
then
guess what it's going to be? A generational curse. It's what you set your mind to. Your mind is a powerful tool.
If all you're going to be is somebody's mama on welfare, then that's all you're going to be is somebody's baby mama on welfare. If all you're going to be is a drug dealer that goes to jail at the age of 15, then that's all you're going to be is a drug dealer that goes to jail at the age of 15. Because that's what you keep setting for yourself. But my thought is that I always knew that jail was never a place for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew that it's in my mind not to do whatever it took to get there because that's not the place I want to be. And I always knew that walking around and dealing with these people over here was never conducive because that's where they wind up going if they don't get killed. I'm not going to be hanging with these people over here because they're going to wind up going to jail or getting killed. That's what I'm seeing as I'm in the middle of it. You know,
right.
So take that generational curse out of it yourself. You got to be the one to break your chains. Mm. You know, between you and Jesus, y'all can get it done. Don't actually look at it like it's just something that you have to be in the middle of or you have to go this way because there ain't nothing else. No matter how other people treat you, it's not how they treat you, it's how you treat yourself. If you don't actually look for something better or actually expect something better from people, they're not going to give you anything better. You know? They're going to give you what you're looking for. And if that's all it takes for you to actually be happy to just get this, then that's what they're going to give you. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's the thing that I was, like, listening to in this whole conversation between them going back and forth between the slavery times and today's day. One of them is too far on the left of acting like, well, none of that had anything to do with the stuff that's going on. And I'm like, I'm not going to say it doesn't, but at the same time, I will say you got to change your whole outlook on life because ain't nobody else going to fight you.
Exactly.
Nobody going to be able to tell you, you know what, there's something better out there for you. You got to go and see that for yourself.
You have to know it.
Exactly.
If you don't know it and feel it, then it won't happen.
It won't happen.
You have to have in your mind, you know what, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
And, yes, if you shy, as soon as something doesn't work out the way you want,
try.
You convert back, then you don't really have your mind set to it. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have your mind set to anything, you might have some stumbling in the process and in the midst of it, but that's the whole way of learning to get better at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said, whatever one thing don't work out for you, try something else. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Just know that as long as you are alive and have breath in your body and able to move, then you can always do something different.
Exactly.
You know, it's up to you to find out what works for you and what's conducive to the way you want your life to be. That's the thing.
That's the whole thing.
You know?
And that's what I think a lot of people that's against the whole race thing that says that, because I can see this point, they said, oh, you know, you can do anything and, you know, race is not an option. That, you know, we can do anything and, you know, you keep holding on to the race thing and race is not holding you back. But race is, I'm a black woman, I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta get past that. You can't let that hold you back.
Exactly.
What you're supposed to do or what your next step is. Because if you wait on, you worrying about what they think about you, then you set yourself a failure.
Basically, because if that's all it takes for you to not do something better with your life, is somebody else actually saying that you can't,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, you're not going to do nothing better with your life because you ain't saying that you can. If you say that you can, then you can. You just got to take the steps to do. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole thought about it. So, yes, when it comes down to it, yes, we went through some stuff in this country, and we are still going through some stuff in this country. But
mm-hmm.
we have definitely made strides, and I refuse to negate that. We will not.
Exactly.
We have not gotten into a better place because of the struggles that our ancestors went through. We are definitely not slaves today, but if you keep that slave mentality, then people are going to continue to try to treat you that way. You
exactly.
got to get out of that mentality yourself.
Because if you believe you're a slave, you're going to always be a slave.
You're going to always be a slave. If you believe you're a criminal, they're going to always treat you like a criminal.
Hmm.
You hear me, black people?
Hmm.
And Hispanic people, because y'all in that boat too. Don't act. Don't act.
Hmm.
People will treat you the way that you actually give them the right to treat you. If you act like a criminal and all that other kind of stuff, that's what they're going to treat you like.
And it's not even with just race. It's also with social status and money and stuff like that. People will treat you.
They can try, but you know what I find? That people with money, girl, it's like, yeah, they have this automatic assumption sometimes, some of them, not all of them, but they have this automatic assumption sometimes that because they got money that they must be smarter than you because you don't have as much money as they do. But when you have a conversation with them and you start making them look as stupid as they sounded by actually making that assumption, they'll realize, okay, yeah, this one here ain't to be played with, yeah. Because you ain't going to just talk to me any kind of way, honey. Even if you are using words that I may not have heard before, or if I heard them before, don't know what the hell they meant, I'm like, yeah, you ain't going to know it because I'm going to still be able to hold a conversation with you.
Right. Our vocabulary is not stopped at the kindergarten.
Okay. I don't just say the D-A's and the T-H-A's. No, I can say the T-H-E's. You know what I'm saying?